This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu al-atamman al-akmalan ala man ba'athahullahu rahmatan lil alameen. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barik ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah, and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon all those who follow his guidance, who follow his way, who follow his path, his sunnah, until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, I want to share with you another one of the stories from amongst the stories of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As we have been doing so in this series called Once Upon a Time, and these are stories, these are authentic stories in which our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated to us over 1400 years ago. And these stories that are narrated by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are filled with gems and lessons that we can deduce from them. Now, today's story is about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested three people. One of them was a leper, the other is a bald man, and the third is a blind man. Now, these three men are from amongst the Banu Israel, the children of Israel. And a leper in Arabic is known as Al-Abras. For those of you who want to increase your Arabic vocabulary, Al-Abras, this is the leper, this is the one who is afflicted with a severe case of a skin disease. He is known as Al-Abras, leper. And a bald-headed man is known as an Aqra. Okay, this is the word for a bald-headed man. And for a blind man, he is known as Al-A'ma. A'ma is a person who has lost his sight or who is born without his sight. Today's hadith is found in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. So it's a very authentic hadith, Bukhari and Muslim. And the narrator of this hadith, and the one who heard it from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the sahabi who narrated the most number of hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who am I referring to? Abu Hurairah. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu wa arda. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. So Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu narrates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel who came to the leper. He came to a leper. And he said to the leper, he said to him, "What thing do you like most?" And he replied, he said, "I want good color and good skin. For the people have a strong aversion to me. You know, you see my state, people don't want to be very close to me because of the way I appear, because of my skin disease. So I'd like to have a good color skin. I'd like to have good skin." And so the angel touched him and his illness was cured. And he was given a good color and beautiful skin. And then the malak, the angel, asked him, "What kind of property do you like best?" Now these three men also, by the way, from amongst the children of Israel, not only did they have these afflictions, but they were also poor. It appears that they were also not very wealthy. So the angel wanted to give a bonus. He said, "What would you like? What kind of wealth would you like?" And after asking him about what kind of property he would like best, He said, I would like camels. Now, in one narration, the narrator is in doubt whether this one, he received the camels or the cows. Okay? But we're going to go with the camel for now. So, he was given a pregnant she camel. And the angel said to him, may Allah bless it for you. May Allah bless it for you. So he made dua. So this camel is a she camel. It can produce other camels. And alhamdulillah, this is what he was given. Then the angel went to the bald-headed man. The bald-headed man, we said, is Al-Aqra. And he said to him, what thing do you like most? He said, I'd like good hair, and I wish to be cured of this disease, for the people feel repulsion for me. So he wants to have his hair. He wants to have hair. So the angel touched him, and his illness was cured, and he was given good hair. Then the angel asked him, what kind of property do you like best? And he said, cows. I would like to have cows. And the angel gave him a pregnant cow. Just as he gave the leper, he gave him a pregnant she-camel. He has given the bald-headed man. He gives him a pregnant cow. And he says to him, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless it for you. Then he comes to the A'ma. And the A'ma is the blind man. And he asks, what thing do you like best? He said, I like that Allah may restore my eyesight to me so that I may see the people. So the angel touched his eyes and Allah gave him back his eyesight. And the angel asked him, what kind of property do you like best? And he replied, I would like to have sheep. So the angel gave him a pregnant sheep. Does anyone know the plural of sheep? Sheep. Not a difficult question. Afterwards, all the three pregnant animals, they gave birth to young ones and they multiplied and brought forth so much that one of them, one of the three men, he had a herd of camels. A whole lot of camels that would fill a valley. That would fill an entire valley. And one of them had a herd of cows that filled the valley. And the third man, he had a flock of sheep that filled the valley. And then what happens? Test time. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he now is going to test these three men. So then the angel, he came back, but this time he is disguised. Disguised in the shape and the appearance of a leper. So he comes, he has skin disease, and he goes to the person who was once a leper, and he says to him this. He says, look, I'm a poor man who has lost all means of livelihood while on a journey, so none will satisfy my need except Allah and then you. I ask you, in the name who has given you such nice color and beautiful skin and so much property, I ask you to give me a camel so that I can reach my destination. I'm asking for one camel. You've got mashallah, beautiful skin, look at my skin, you've got good color, you've got all this wealth, camels within the valley. Please just give me one camel so I can continue on. I don't have what you have. So this once upon a time leper, what does he say? He says, I have many obligations. I cannot give you. And then the angel says to him, I think I know you. Were you not a leper to whom the people had a strong aversion? Weren't you a poor man? And then Allah gave you all of this property. So what was the once upon a time leper's response? He says, No, that's not right. That's not right. I got this property through inheritance from my forefathers. And then the angel said to him, if you are telling a lie, then let Allah make you as you were before. Come on, it's not like he was asking me for 20 camels. It's not like he's asking me for 30 or 50 camels. One camel. That's all he's asking for. SubhanAllah. This is how sometimes some people are so stingy and so tight that they cannot even part with $1 from what Allah Azza wa Jalla has given them. So then the angel, he comes to who? To the bold man, to the Aqra. He comes to the bold man, and he comes to him in the appearance of a bold man. And he says to him the same thing that he says to who? Then he says to the leper, he says to him, I'm a poor man who has lost all my means of livelihood while on a journey, and no one will satisfy my need except Allah and then you. And I ask you in the name who has given you this beautiful hair, who's given you this, then I ask you to give me also, he says to him, to give me only one cow. And so he says the same thing, the same response as the leper. I've got obligations, I'm not in a position to do so. And he says, and then he also says, weren't you bald at one stage of your life, and Allah gave you back your hair, and weren't you poor, and you didn't have this wealth, and Allah has given you this property? And he says, no, I got this through inheritance. I got this through inheritance from my forefathers. And so the angel says to him, if you were telling a lie, then let Allah make you as you were before. Now subhanAllah, how when a sick person is willing, think about it, when a sick person, an ill person, is willing to spend all of his life savings to come out of his sickness, but to give 1% for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't. This is what we hibbuna al-mal ahibba al-jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it in the Quran that we love mal. Mal hubba al-jannah. We love it severely. And this is why the word mal, within its meaning, it means muyul. You see, mal is that which you are inclined. Muyul means inclination. So when you are, as human beings, we have an inclination, we have muyul towards wealth. And this is why one of the reoccurring themes of Juz' Amma, the 30th part of the Quran, is mal. مَا أَغْنَى عَنْهُ مَالُهُ وَمَا كَسَبْ in Surah Tabbatada, Surah Al-Masad. So we find this in many places in the Quran, specifically in Juz' Amma. Anyway, the angel then, he comes to who? He comes to the blind man. He comes to the A'ma. He comes to the blind man, and he says to him, I'm a poor man and a traveler whose means of livelihood have been exhausted while on a journey. I have nobody to help except Allah, and after him, you yourself. I ask you in the name of him who has given you your eyesight to give me a sheep. To give me a sheep. So that with its help I may complete my journey. And listen to now the response of the blind man. The blind man says, no doubt, I was blind and Allah gave me back my eyesight. And I was poor, and Allah made me rich. So take anything you wish from my property. Wallahi, by Allah, I will not stop you from taking anything you need of my property, which you may take for Allah's sake. Take as much as you like. So then the angel, he says to him, keep your property, I don't want it. Keep your property with you. He said, you, in other words, you three men have been tested and Allah is pleased with you. In other words, the man who used to be blind and he is angry with your two companions. And this is where the hadith of the leper, the bald and the blind man ends. These three men appear to be from the same area. From the same area. So they weren't from like different provinces, because the angel, he says, Allah is pleased, he mentions the other two as your companions, so they must be nearby. They must be nearby. So today, inshaAllah ta'ala, I want to share with you seven lessons that we can learn from this hadith. Now maybe while I'm going through them, you can think about your own lessons, some of the lessons that you have learned, and then see if I mention them. And if I don't mention them, maybe at the end you can mention them and I can add them. So the next time I deliver this talk, I can say I have 10 or 13 or 50 lessons. Let's see, inshallah, how we get it. The first lesson that we can deduce from this story, from this hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, is that these three men represent two types of people. We can deduce that there are two types of people. The first group of people, or the first category of people, are those who are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who show their gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we saw in the case of who? In the case of the blind man. He displayed his gratitude. He displayed his thanks. So there are a lot of people out there, alhamdulillah, who are like that. Who do not deny the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings of Allah azza wa jal. And the second category of people are those who are ungrateful towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's many blessings. Who are ungrateful, as we saw in the case of the leper and the bald man. And it is through gratitude, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that the blessings continue to exist. The more you thank Allah Azza wa Jal, the more Allah Azza wa Jal continues to bless you. And in one verse in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. And when you are thankful, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ, shukr means thanks. You know, when someone does an act of kindness towards you, you know, in Arabic you say shukran, which means thank you. I mean, yes, Islamically we say jazakallahu khayran, jazakallahu khayran, may Allah compensate you with goodness. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. When you thank Allah, He gives you more. And thanking Allah Azza wa Jal is with your tongue. Saying Alhamdulillah, thanking Allah Azza wa Jal is also through your deeds, by giving to others, by praying, by performing Hajj, by performing Umrah, by doing those physical acts of worship. So yeah, this is all part of shukr, all part of thankfulness, giving sadaqah. This is a part of shukr, being thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is through, as I said, it is through gratitude that blessings continue to exist. And it is through the denial and ungratefulness that blessings may decrease. Your wealth or blessings that Allah has given you may decrease or even may be taken away from you. It may be taken away from you if you are ungrateful to Allah Azza wa Jal. This is why it's important to establish and to maintain a very strong connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. The second lesson that we can learn from this story is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He tests people. And this is known as ibtila, tests, trials. So that the grateful is distinct from the ungrateful. Or so that the righteous is distinct from the unrighteous. Allah tests us. So that we can see then who are those who are grateful? Who are those who are ungrateful? And in Surah Al-Ankabut, which is the 29th chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the second verse of this surah, He says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think that they will be left alone because they say, we believe, and that they will not be tested. Just because you're a believer, just because you're a mu'min, you say, I believe in Allah and all the tenets of Iman, and all the articles of faith, al-Iman billah wa malaikatihi wa kutubihi wa rusulihi wa al-yawm al-akhir wa al-qada wa al-qadr khayrihi wa sharrihi. Just because you believe in all of this, do you think that you're not going to be tested? That's what Allah is saying in this verse. Ahasib al-nas. And you tell who that they'll be left alone just because they say amanna. Just because they say we believe. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ بِالَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, we indeed tested those who were before them. So before these believers, we tested other people before them. We tested others. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars. Allah will make it known. Those who are true in their faith, those who are not so true in their faith. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, this life is a test. The whole life is a test, it's a trial from Allah. And that's why in Surah Al-Mulk, Surah Tabarak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. The one who created death and life to test which of you is best in action. Yes, we will be tested. The prophets and the messengers of Allah Azza wa Jalla were tested. And they were tested the most. And in one hadith, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that those who go through the most trials are the Anbiya, are the Prophets. ثُمَّ الْأَنْثَلَ فَالْأَنْثَلَ. And then the like and the like. So the more closely you are following in the footsteps of the Prophets and the Messengers, the more you will have tests and trials from Allah Azza wa Jal. So we need to remember that life is a test, and we need to not be failing this test. Because there are many people who go through trials and who go through tribulations and calamities before them, and they are not patient and they are not turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so they become miserable people, they become depressed people, they become anxious people, they become stressed people. So it is very important, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, that we prepare ourselves for trials and tribulations, and that we have sabr. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Ajib, amazing is the affair of a believer. There is good in everything that he does. If you're a true believer, you know, if something good happens to you, he said, you know, he thanks Allah, his reward for that. And if something befalls him, some misfortune befalls him, he is patient. Sabr, which is mentioned over 100 times in the Quran, and in Surah Yusuf, there's a beautiful ayah which should give us that strength, and that should motivate us during times of calamity and times of hardship. As Allah Subhanahu wa Taala says, that innahu, that He speaks about those who have taqwa and those who have sabr. Allah does not allow for the reward of a muhsin, of a good doer, to go to waste. So don't be like those, let us not be like those who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on an edge. You know, it's like you're on the edge of a cliff and you are about to fall. You're on the edge and you're about to fall. Don't always be on the edge. Move away from the edge because you might fall. Don't put yourself in a risky situation. So there is an ayah to this effect. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the 22nd chapter of the Quran, verse 11. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ. And among the people is one who worships Allah right on the edge. عَلَى حَرْفٍ. فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ. If good befalls him, he is happy with it. You have good news, things are going your way, alhamdulillah. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ. But if a trial befalls him, he reverts to his former ways. Just because he's going through a hard time, he's going to go back to his old bad habits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةَ ذَٰلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. That this person who goes through this trial and he goes back to his former ways, he loses both in the dunya and the akhirah. He loses. He becomes a failure in this life and a failure in the akhirah. ذَٰلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ. And that is indeed sheer loss. That is the loss. When you are a loser in this life and a loser in the hereafter because of your lack of patience, because of not having maybe the correct, you know, iman and tawakkul and yaqeen in Allah Azza wa Jal. This is what we need to do. Always remember, yes, life is full of challenges, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. Life is full of difficulties and hardships. It's going to be lots of bad news. There's going to be lots of misfortune. There's going to be lots of bad experiences. But does that mean we're going to sell out our deen? Does that mean that that's it? Just because we're going through this trial? That's why you should always, you know, when it comes to trials and tribulations, don't look at those who are in a superior position. Don't look at those who are better off than you. But look at those who are in a worse situation. When you look at those who are trialed with worse situations, then your situation becomes very, very easy. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ teaches us. To look at those who are less fortunate than us. Don't look at those who are more fortunate than us. And by this or through this way, you become more appreciative. Insha'Allah. So what lesson are we up to? Number three, insha'Allah. Number three, the third lesson is part of being thankful to Allah Azza wa Jal is giving from your wealth to the poor and needy and towards other beneficial causes. Part of being thankful. So, being thankful to Allah, being from amongst those who are shakirin, those who thank Allah Azza wa Jal, is to give. That's a sign. That's a sign of your thankfulness. When you give, especially to the poor, to the faqir, to the fuqara, to the masakeen, to those who are needy. Giving, fi sabilillah, giving to build masjids, to build Islamic institutes, giving towards any cause that is beneficial to your Muslim brother and sister, in any part of the world. So, this is part of being thankful. In the story, the two men, the leper and the bald man, were not being thankful. All they were asked to do was to give one camel and one cow. And they couldn't even do that. They couldn't even do that. That means they're not thankful people. Yet look at the blind man. The blind man, he was very thankful to Allah. He didn't take his eyesight or what Allah has given him for granted. He said, this is all from Allah Azza wa Jal. And if Allah is the one who gives me this, then Allah can also take it and Allah can give me better. That's the sort of mentality that we need to have. That it is Allah who compensates. That Allah is the one who gives. And that's why whenever you're going through some misfortune or you go through a loss, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us to say, "What? Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khlif li khayran minha." Allahumma ajirni, oh Allah, reward me with regards to my misfortune and compensate me with something better. That's what we need to do. If you lose a loved one, you know, Allahumma ajirni fi musibati, ya Allah, reward me, I want rewards for my loss. I'm being patient, Ya Allah. I want to be rewarded for my patience. And I want you, O Allah, to compensate me. I want you to give me better. Give me something to make me feel better. Compensate me for my loss. وَخْلِفْ لِي خَيْرًا مِنْهَا. You know, when one of the sahabiyat, one of the female companions, she lost her husband. And she thought her husband was the be-all and end-all of husbands, you know? And, you know, she wasn't coping. She was thinking, you know, who am I going to find after? And then she memorized the dua, Allahumma ajudni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayra minha. Oh Allah, reward me with regards to my misfortune and compensate me with better. So Allah compensates her with the best of husbands. Who was that? The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, you know, look, don't underestimate Allah azza wa jalla. Always have a good opinion of Allah azza wa jalla. Have a good opinion of Allah azza wa jalla. And don't underestimate what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in plan for you. Yeah, you may have tasted, you may be tasting something, you may be tasting something which is very sweet, which is very, you know, it's very pleasant, it's very good, it makes you happy. And you think that's it. But how many times have we, maybe, you know, we go through a certain experience and we think this is the best. This is the best. And then what happens? We come across something else and we go, no, this is the best. You know? We don't know. We don't know what Allah has planned for us. So let us be Muslims. And a Muslim is one who submits and who surrenders and obeys Allah Azza wa Jalla. So yes, part of being thankful to Allah is giving from your wealth to the poor and to the needy and towards other beneficial causes. And the opposite is true. Part of being ungrateful is that you withhold from giving to the poor and to the needy and to those beneficial causes. That's a sign of your ungratefulness. Okay, and this is also known as kufr, but not the type of kufr of belief. It's a kufr of the ni'mah. It's a denial of the blessings. And Allah Azza wa Jalla has amazed us with many, many blessings. وَإِن تَعُدُّ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you were to count, if you were to enumerate the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to count them. Many, many blessings. The blessing of our eyesight and our hearing and our sense of touch and our sense of smell and our sense of taste and our shelter and our yani clothing and our children and our spouse and our families and our security. And you can go on and on and on. Allah Azza wa Jal amazes us with His blessings. And let us thank Him, and He will give us more by thanking Him. You never lose out, inshaAllah ta'ala. The next lesson that I want to touch on is a very quick one, number 4, and I've mentioned this before, and that is the ability of angels to take on the form of humans. Angels can disguise themselves in the form of humans, just as we had at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Jibreel alayhi salam came and sat right in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the form of a man. He resembled a man called Dihya al-Kalbi, as has been mentioned. So yes, angels can take on the form of people. And in the story we see how the angel took on the form of a leper and a bald man and a blind man. However, in saying that, of course, we know that the angels are made of light, and human beings are made out of clay, and the jinn are made out of smokeless fire. So they're different, they're created differently. So yes, angels are different, however, to human beings. They don't eat, they don't drink, they don't sleep. They do as Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded them. They don't hesitate. This is the case with the angels. And you can always listen to the lecture that we have on the website about the angels, about the malaika. The fifth lesson that we can deduce from this hadith, that sometimes if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a person's wealth, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless a person's wealth to the extent that it increases and it multiplies. You know, each one of these three men, they started off with one. One of them had a she camel, and one of them had a pregnant cow, and the other one a sheep. Okay? And they multiplied until they filled the valley. Allah Azza wa Jalla can multiply your wealth. But you need to start. You need to do something. You need to have, yani start with something, inshaAllah ta'ala. And don't be surprised if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you a very wealthy person. This is not difficult for Allah Azza wa Jalla. And so as we saw, each of the three men ended up with a valley of the animal that they desired. And the opposite is true. Sometimes Allah may decree for great wealth to be destroyed in a matter of murders. Sometimes you can have so much riches, so much wealth, so much money, and then Allah Azza wa Jal could just like that take it away from you. Destroy it. It can make you bankrupt, as they say. A mufis. And this all goes back to, inshallah, that it could be a test from Allah Azza wa Jal, or it could be that you have been ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sixth lesson that I want to share with you, that we can deduce from this story, is that having lots of wealth is not a sign or proof that Allah loves a person. Just because you have a lot of wealth, just because you have a lot of money, you might have property, have houses, you might have cars, that doesn't mean Allah Azza wa Jalla necessarily loves you. Because Allah gives wealth to those whom He loves and to those whom He doesn't. There are many, many kafirs, many disbelievers out there, okay, past and present, who have so much wealth that they disbelieve. Does that mean Allah loves them? No. It's a test. This wealth could actually be not in your favor. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing people with that wealth. So that wealth that is nothing, it actually could not be a blessing but a curse. It might not end up being a blessing for you. It's probably a curse. It's not in your favor. So sometimes it's better for some people to remain poor. Because if they were rich, they would derail from the path that leads them to Jannah. Some people, it's beneficial for them to be rich. If they were poor, they may not be focused on their Islam, on their Iman, and, you know, worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people, it's befitting for them to be sick. If they were in good health, they would not remember Allah. Some people, it's not good for them to be sick. They might forget about Allah Azza wa Jal. Everybody deals and copes differently with whatever situation they might find themselves in. So having lots of wealth is not a sign or proof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves that person. Allah may be testing the person with the wealth. The seventh and last lesson that I want to share with you, that we can deduce from this story, is that Allah is able to cure diseases that many people think there is no cure for. There are many diseases out there. There are many illnesses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can actually, He can cure those diseases, even though people think, nah, it's impossible, no way. No, there is. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, kun fayakun, be and it is. And there is a hadith I want to share with you, which is found in Sahih Bukhari. It is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if there is no disease that Allah has created except that He also has created its treatment. I'll say that again. There is no disease that Allah has created except that He also created its treatment. مَا مِنْ دَاءٍ إِلَّا وَلَهُ دَوَاءٍ. You know, in one narration, عَلِمَهُ مَنْ عَلِمَهُ وَجَهِلَهُ مَنْ جَهِلَهُ. Those who know it. And those who don't know it, are ignorant of it. So there are some people out there that are curing diseases that other people don't know of. You know, how many times, you know, there's probably a cure out there, but you don't come across it till many years later, or many months later, or whatever. You might not even come across that treatment. So this is what we learn from the story that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He returned. You know, being bald, some people think, there's no way I'm going to get my hair back. Being blind is no way of getting my eyesight back. Having a skin disease. I'm like this, but see, it's not going to happen. No, of course, Allah Azza wa Jalla, there's a treatment. And it is very important, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, to always remain close to Allah Azza wa Jalla, so He can direct you, so He can guide you towards a treatment. And that's why Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَتَعْلَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ يُسْرًا. If whoever has a taqwa of Allah, Allah makes his affairs easy for him. Very, very important, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam. So these are the lessons that I wanted to share with you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. وَصَلَى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ